We welcome our guest, saxophonist Kurt Whalum. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing very well. It's an honor to talk with you and all your loyal fans.
Hey, it is an honor just to talk to you. The great things that you have been doing, your new project, Gospel According to Jazz. Tell us about Gospel According to Jazz. Is it chapter 2?
It's chapter 3.
Chapter 3, okay.
For your listeners who may, I'll start at the very beginning and say that I bet there's some listeners who may not be familiar with my music, and I'm honored to try to introduce myself. In fact, I bet there's somebody who knows of a song called I Will Always Love You from The Bodyguard, Whitney Houston, and I played the saxophone solo on that recording, and of course toured and recorded with Whitney for 7 years. But during that time, I was making records and doing my jazz thing, but since I was 15, man, I loved Jesus and not ashamed of him, and so I've always shared my faith wherever I happen to be. And I know a lot of your listeners work in various places, even if it's, for the bank or post office or whatever, but they share their faith on their job. So that's kind of what I've done in the jazz world. And now I get to do it in a way that's more direct through the Gospel According to Jazz. And now we're on chapter 3.
Wow, that is very interesting. You mentioned Whitney Houston. Tell us about, and it's hard to say this, the late Luther Vandross. What's your connection?
Right. I performed and recorded with Luther for many years and, prayed for him for years and years. And when he did have the stroke, I found myself praying even harder for him, And yet, when you listen to Luther's records, you definitely will hear me. Anyone who had a heart and just lots of records. I can't even think of all of them right now, but I have such a love for his music, and I've recorded a lot of his songs as well, instrumental version.
You are a pastor's kid. How hard is it being a pastor's kid? Because we hear all kind of things about pastor's kids. What kind of pressure was that on you, Kirk?
Right. I mean, at 51, it's so hard to remember being a kid at all. And now that I have 4 grown kids and a grandson, I guess you could ask them about being a pastor's kid, because I'm also a minister. I'm in seminary as we speak, and really my ministry was a little unconventional and definitely not a pastor of a church, so to speak. I do preach from time to time, but I call myself preaching through my instrument, and that's kind of what I do. But definitely growing up in the home of a pastor and the pastor's wife was unique in the sense that I was always trying to go out and play my music, and my parents were so wonderful to me. They never prevented me from doing that. They knew that if I was going to be a professional, that I would need to have that rounded experience, of playing in all different kinds of venues. They just made it clear what I was and was not supposed to be doing in those places. That's kind of how it went for me.
Our guest, Kurt Whalum, saxophonist, the project Gospel According to Jazz, Chapter 3. Let's talk about you, your collaboration with Jonathan Butler, Falling in Love with Jesus. Did you expect that song to do what it did, Kirk?
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell your listeners the story behind that I had written 2 songs for Jonathan to perform on the Gospel According to Jazz, Chapter 2. One of them for him to play his guitar with. I think he's one of the greatest acoustic guitarist in the world, and he played it lovely. And then the second one was from the scene. He wasn't crazy about that. He just didn't feel like it fit, like a shoe, it just didn't fit. And so he had, and man, I have this praise chorus. He says, not really a song, and I don't know if it would fit on this record, and blah, blah. I was like, man, listen, stop right there. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart, that's exactly what I want you to do, and I'd be honored for you to do this song. He said, well, it's called Falling in Love with Jesus, and the rest is history.
Wow, what a great song. On your new recording, on Chapter 3, you also have guests on there. How about Layla Hathaway?
That's right, man. Layla Hathaway, George Duke, Doc Powell, speaking of Luther Vandross, my family, I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but it's a project that we did live in the Washington, D.C. area, and it was just a special, special event. And when people get a chance to see this, to hear it, they can also see it because it's a high-definition DVD that people can actually sort of experience the concert. It's a double CD as well. And, you know, having these folks who are arguably, you know, some of the world's greatest jazz artists to make their own unique expression of their love for God and, or in many cases, their journey to God. You know, I think a lot of times we have this sort of prerequisite that, well, you know, we don't really want you singing over here unless you are a Christian. And I'm saying, well, hold on, what if we're working on that person and we want to lead that person to Christ? Is it okay if we have that person sing and play with us? You know, that's kind of the way I feel, because God is able to use those songs to minister even to the person who's singing.
You know, I noticed something on your projects, and being a jazz artist that you are, different on your projects, there are several songs on your project that's over the conventional 5 minutes long. You know, there are songs, you know, you have a song up there 13 minutes long.
Yeah, right.
why do a song that long like that? And why do songs right. on your album like that?
Yeah, well, again, that's exactly a great teaser for people to take a listen to it and see why we do that. Because really, it's like telling a story, and it's like drama. You know, that's why I love when people see the video, because one of those songs, I think the one that's 13 minutes long, is "Running Away," the old Frankie Beverly and Nate song, and we switched it around to, you know, talk about running away from God, you know, and how we all tend to do that, you know, in one area or another. And my brother, who is like, he's really an actor, you know, as well as a singer, he acts out this whole thing of running away from God, and he has these musical conversations, first of all with the drummer and then with the bass player, who, by the way, is my son, and then with the percussionist. And so he goes back and forth, and he emulates those instruments, and then they sort of answer each other back and forth. And by the time you look around, you know, 13 minutes have passed, and you don't really, you know it. You can't, you don't even notice it. But that's really the appeal of this kind of music. It's not like wham, bam, you know. This is more like, no, it's sit down and grab you a cup of tea, you know, or a Coca-Cola or something, and really enjoy this and watch these musicians interact, you know.